United States Air Force calls it a controlled flight into terrain.
Right.
They crashed, brothers.
Right. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. This is episode 21 for the week of March 27th, 2008. We're being produced by 8 Beer Sampler Productions for internet consumption.
And it's two guys talking to everyone about anything.
Or anyone about anything, or everyone about everything. We will definitely have to figure out exactly who we're talking to and about what.
We got to put that on the poll.
That would be it. We could do a web page poll.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good job.
We need some input on that. I think you got a little more of that to do.
Yeah.
You're the penguin?
I'm the penguin, and this is my compadre, Max.
I'm Max.
How's it going today?
We're just ducky.
Ducky?
Yeah.
All right.
Ducky is a good quality.
Well, if you like the weather wet and damp, I would imagine.
Yeah. As, unfortunately, that makes me happy most of the time because that's what it is around here.
Right. Someone that just recently said that ducks on the pond is a great metaphor for somebody who's like really deep and has a lot of stuff going on in their brain, because you look at ducks on a pond and if you're above the water, they're all just kind of floating there and stuff. But if you go underneath the water, their feet are moving a mile a minute.
Huh. That's an interesting thought. I never thought of that way. I mean, I've always heard ducks on the pond is relating to baseball.
Yes. Speaking of baseball, that's what we should be doing tonight. But
right. This is not our baseball, not baseball extravaganza.
It is not. We'll do that eventually, but we're not doing it tonight. Tonight we're just doing a regular old CSA podcast.
CSA podcast. We're holding off for Manhattan Man, who was not able to make it tonight due to technical difficulties at the network source.
There you go. That makes it sound so official.
Yeah. Well, it is. On his network, it's a big problem.
Right.
So, here we are, and we're going to talk about a few things for a little while and see where it takes us.
Sure. And we're going to open up by talking about, well, extending our conversation from a few weeks ago about language.
Right. And that's true. We were going to have Mr. Clemens on for this. And we still have to have Sam Clemens back on.
Absolutely.
And we still have to talk about language. But tonight, we want to talk particularly about euphemisms and the whole Iraq mess and how our government is selling it to us euphemistically. And my first bone of contention is that when the Vietnam War was going on and Richard Nixon wanted to escalate it, he said he wanted to escalate the war. But under the Karl Rove administration, they understand that language is powerful, and they didn't want to escalate the war, so they had a surge, because it sounds more temporary and less threatening to a country that's already tired of war.
Right. Less LBJ problematic.
Yeah. It's less LBJ. It's more Ronald Reagan. It's all right. Public relations.
So just for people, for any of our listeners who might not know, the definition of euphemism that we're using comes from the Marion Gilbert online dictionary. And it's basically the substitution of an agreeable or inoffensive word for one that may offend or suggest something unpleasant.
Right. It's putting a nice shine on an ugly toad.
Right. A spin.
It's spinning, absolutely.
It's spinning is what it really, really is. Now, do you remember, to start this off, and we've brought this up before, but do you remember the infamous, We're going to have the infamous Thanksgiving kitchen dialogue that you and I and Manhattan Man and several other people had in Mert's Kitchen, Thanksgiving 1984.
Really?
What were
we talking about?
Up in Green. Well, we were talking about two things, both of which ended up coming true. We were talking about how magazines were developing the ability to have different covers printed for different parts of the country.
No, and I don't remember that, but yeah, that certainly turned out to come true.
Very, very true. Magazines, you know, even like Sports Illustrated or TV Guide or Time or Newsweek all do it nowadays. Even USA Today does it. And sure. We also had a discussion about how the FAA had just released a report and they would not refer to a plane crash as a plane crash. They refer to it as an unscheduled termination of flight.
Right. Which, and the United States Air Force calls it a controlled flight into terrain.
Right. Oh, God.
They crashed, brothers.
Right. And so this is the government that we're talking about.
Well, the military is one of the worst offenders for euphemisms. Look at the word ordnance. They deliver ordnance. You know, it's like the milkman.
Right.
I'm going to go deliver some ordnance.
Right.
Now, you're blowing shit up.
And the couple that we just already talked about, collateral damage, which is just an excellent example.
That's a premier euphemism, absolutely.
Right.
What does collateral damage mean?
It means you blew up some civilians.
That's what it means.
I mean, that's what it is, right? And so rather than saying, unfortunately, when we dropped the bombs, we blew up civilians, we say there was a little bit of collateral damage.
Right, right. It's – well, I want to say it's outrageous and unfair, but the next part of me wants to just say, you know, wake up, people. I want the American people to be smart enough to see between the lines when they're getting language like collateral damage.
Right. Now, it's not only the military that does this. I mean, we all do it. I mean, you know, when poor Scruffy, your cat, is on its last legs, you don't bring it to the vet to be gassed anymore. You bring it to be euthanized.
Yes.
You know, so you know.
But it's even more than that. What's the euphemism for bringing to the vet to be euthanized? That's a mouthful. You take him to be put to sleep.
Right, right.
He ain't sleeping.
Yeah. Well, if he is, he's sleeping for a long, long time.
That's right. When I sleep, I wake up.
When I was a kid, we were told that they were taking the pet to the farm.
Yeah, I've heard people say that. I didn't realize that was a euphemism, because I think I actually had a couple of pets that were taken to the farm. But that one slipped by me.
Well, my sister, not recently, but my sister had a dog that they, when their daughter was younger, and that's basically what they told her, that they took her to the farm.
Yeah. You know, so. I wish I could remember now which dog it was, because I think that happened to me too, and I just never knew about it.
Right, until years later, when you figured out that.
Back to euphemisms for war here. I just saw the movie Rendition, and in it, an Egyptian who married an American who went to college here and was living here for 20 years came back from South Africa on a business trip, and the United States put a bag over his head, pulled him into a room, flew him back to Egypt, where he was waterboarded and electrocuted or electro-tortured for a long, you know, amount of time. And they eliminated the record of him from ever having been on the flight, even though he was on this flight. That's rendition, which the British government just announced that they had assisted in the rendition of people for the benefit of the United States. In other words, the United States was sending people to Eastern European countries where they were tortured, and the British allowed the American planes to land in Britain on their way to Eastern Europe. And what they say at Media Concepts is, if you put a bag over someone's head and fly them to a black site, which is a euphemism in itself for a country that tortures on your behalf, we already have a word for this. It's called kidnapping.
Right.
Contractors is a good word. Blackwater, USA. Do you know how many American soldiers there are in Iraq right now?
I don't. I don't know the exact number.
It's around 140,000, I believe.
I was going to say 150, right?
Do you know how many contractors there are?
I would say probably more than that.
Yeah, 180,000 contractors. Well, when I hire a contractor, I want him to fix the bathroom.
Right. I want you to build me a ramp.
Yes. But when the United States hires contractors, they're professional soldiers who
right.
kill people.
There's another name for that. What do they call those soldiers that the soldiers
mercenary.
For hire? Mercenaries, that's the word.
Right, right. A contractor, it's a classic euphemism. A contractor in this context is a mercenary. Blackwater, USA, they hate it when you say it, but they're mercenaries.
Yep. One of my favorite things about Jon Stewart on The Daily Show is the fact that he just – loves to play with language. He just loves to kind of play around and kind of, well, in some ways, he does what CSA does, you know, points out the idiocy of the world one idiot at a time.
Right.
And
hopefully we do it half as well as he does.
Right. Someday I'd like to aspire yeah. to do it that well. But he did this whole thing about some of these words,
regarding torture?
Right. Euphemisms.
And
basic euphemisms. And that's a hard word to say.
I got it, but I could see how it could be tough.
Yeah. Basically, in the interview, he was saying that, you know, how do you call, you know, waterboarding or sleep deprivation? How is that not torture? And the guy said, because the United States doesn't torture people. Meaning,
right.
But that doesn't mean that we don't do these things. It just means that if we do those things, we don't call it torture.
And after World War II, when we put Japanese people on trial for waterboarding, we called it torture. This is classic Reaganism. This president is so much like Reagan, it drives me nuts. Because people think Reagan was great, and people know that this guy is an idiot.
Right.
But they just changed the meaning of the language. They just change the words. It's the same thing.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and basically what it really, really is, it's a way to hide the truth. If
yes.
you think about it. I mean, you know, from one end of the spectrum to the other, saying to a child that you're sending the dog to the farm or that you're going to euthanize him, or whatever you
right.
say is just on one end of that whole continuum of hiding.
That's a really interesting point, because is our paternalistic government treating us like children?
Right.
We can't handle the real words, so they're giving us nice words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
There's one, and I don't understand this one, to be honest with you. There seems to be a debate going on about whether or not to call it global warming or climate change. And it seems that the nice way to say it is climate change, but I don't really see what's wrong with global warming, but maybe that's just me.
Well, no, I don't think it's you. I think that, well, it's a way of kind of it's hard to explain. I listened to somebody try to explain this, and what it came down to is that global warm. When you say the word global warming, it creates a picture in your mind that the temperature is like heating up very, very quickly. But global warming, climate change, is a very, very relatively slow process that the world has gone through
a number
of times.
Right.
And so, you know, the unfortunate part is that it only has to change a little tiny bit to have massive amounts of effects. 1 or 2 degrees of average temperature can create lots of problems, and 3 or 4 degrees of average temperature can cause major problems for us living today.
Well, and there's so no question, it's an objective fact that the average temperature is trending up. That's observable, measurable. We know it to decimal places.
Right. But what we don't know is what the cause of it is, whether it's...
Right. Right, and the vast majority of scientists do know what it is. And if you consider hundreds of millions of tons of carbon dioxide, and I don't know how you measure a ton of carbon dioxide, are being put in the air and have been since about the last 100 years or from about the last 100 years. If you believe that carbon dioxide reflects the ultraviolet rays back, or however it is that the science works, then you have to believe that the carbon dioxide is causing it. But there's no debate that the average temperature is getting warmer.
Right.
Back to euphemisms for a second. I want to mention the
euphemisms
grossest...
25, Alex.
Say again?
I said euphemisms for 25, Alex.
Well, I think the grossest euphemism that I've ever heard out of the mouth of this idiotic president is that he actually said that we are having this war in order to have peace.
Right.
Which George Orwell said, hello, George Orwell, in 1984, War for Peace, one of the characters. I haven't even looked in the book in a while. I just remember it because it was so outrageous when I read it. And it's outrageous to me that he could say it and every newsman in the country doesn't stand on his head and say, did you hear what he just said? We're having war for peace.
Yep.
War for peace?
There you go.
You cannot tell me that that's not a euphemism. And you can't tell me that the American people aren't idiots if they let that slide. He said we're having war for peace. All right, I'm sorry.
No, you're right on with that. But you know, this particular government that we have in place now has plenty of these types of things in their repertoire. The whole No Child Left Behind Act, which basically
left a lot of children behind.
Right. The Clear Skies Initiative, which, you know, lets power plants continue to pollute.
Right.
The Healthy Forest Initiative, which lets you cut down more trees. The Patriot Act, which lets you have your rights violated without cause.
Right. It's all war for peace. All they have to do is name something the opposite and people will believe it.
Right. Which is really what that part of it is about, isn't it? It's getting people to believe it. I mean, that's why they spin. That's why they change things. That's why they...
Well, but doesn't that mean that they're able to take advantage of the intellectual laziness of the American people? Can you tell a critical thinking person that you're going to have war for peace?
Well, you should have picked that up on that one.
George Orwell coined the term doublespeak. This is doublespeak.
Right.
He also coined the term double plus ungood because he wanted to simplify language, and there was good and bad. No, there was only good, and bad things were ungood. And if it was very bad, it was plus on good. And if it was really, really, really bad, it was double plus on good.
Is that sort of like double secret probation?
Yes, it is. Do we need to have a toga party? Is that what's
not? It may be. It may be what it requires, you know?
You know what? Maybe we do, because maybe if this president puts on a toga and hits a keg of beer, people will actually see him for who he really is.
Right. One of the comments off of the Media Concepts page, the individual said that, unfortunately, the sad truth is that most of America only hears words like patriot or clear or healthy, and then puts another one of those magnetic ribbons with support our troops on the car. And,
right, right.
You know, and then kind of goes on. You know, you when you start spinning like this, you don't make it easy for people to understand. People are confused enough about what's going on. I mean, you know, depending on which news agency you watch, you can hear about the same event and get two different ideas of what's actually happening.
Speaking of news agencies, and we all know what one we're talking about, which is going to give you a different point of view. Did you happen to catch, and I saw this because I was watching MSNBC, Fox News the other day, they showed a clip on MSNBC of Chris Wallace from Fox News berating the Fox News morning show. Did you see this?
No.
He gets on and he says, come on, people. 2 hours of abusing Barack Obama is about enough. Bill Richardson has just come out and endorsed him. We've had another attack in Iraq. There's real news. Why don't we just stop beating this guy up? We've done it for 2 hours. And this is Chris Wallace of Fox News.
Right.
And, you know, I thought that was significant. Maybe he's trying to pretend that he's actually a newsman now and not just a shill for what's his name, Roger Ailes, that owns Fox News.
Right. Well, you know, it's an interesting personal experience that I've had recently has been I have always been very, very much aware of the slant that Fox News put on stuff.
Right.
But up until recently, within the last couple of months, I always watched the local Fox News here.
Yeah.
And I never kind of connected the two things.
Yeah.
But as this whole political process has gone on, it's become more and more obvious that Fox News slant is very, very much
part of the local news as well.
Part of the local news as well. You know?
Yeah.
And it was there were two things that bothered me about the local Fox News. One of them was that, and the other one was the fact that they used the news to promote their television shows.
Sure.
Which I thought was pretty. I mean, there's a difference between promoting your television show by showing a commercial, but there's a difference when you promote your television show by making it appear to be news.
Oh yeah.
And thus putting it on your news thing, like, you know, anything that happens on American Idol becomes fodder for
the news.
You know, the news, like they did the whole thing. I don't watch American Idol. Thank God I'm not hooked like Booth Boy is.
Yeah, I do watch
and,
that.
And the Publicity Princess. But one of the young kids who's doing well or was doing well has a stage dad who's a real pain or something.
Yeah.
And they were using that as a way to talk about
American Idol
tonight at 8 o'clock.
All of the networks do this. You know,
well, I never noticed it in the local news. Maybe they do, but I didn't notice it in the local news. Up here for CBS, which is the news that I watch instead now,
yeah.
I don't notice it as much.
Yeah, Fox is probably the worst abuser, but I've seen it. I don't know if it's NBC or CBS. With the Macy's Day Parade there, the Thanksgiving Day Parade, they will often have, you know, people who are going to be the guest of honor on the lead float there, and you know they'll interview them on the morning show, which the morning show is sort of quasi newsy, and if you look, I think most, maybe not the 6 o'clock news still, but most network shows will find ways to fill in. And just the difference between entertainment and news is less and less. I mean, and the politicians have figured it out too. They're going on Jay Leno and David Letterman, and
well, Clinton was famous for
he
that.
Really he kind of that. Inaugurated that.
Yeah, very, very much. Very, very much so.
And it gets less – the politicians get less harsh criticism. Larry King's another one. Larry King's not a newsman. He's an interviewer, and he likes to be nice to people.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I really enjoy Keith Olbermann.
Yeah.
On MSNBC. I mean, I go back with him to when he was on
Sports.
ESPN.
Right.
I thought he did a wonderful job. He loves to – he's also one of those guys who loves to play with language.
He's a brilliant writer.
In a lot of things. And he always refers to Fox News by some other name whenever he has to refer to
it. Is there a word for the opposite of euphemism, a critical euphemism?
There might be. We might have to come up with a word ourselves.
Because he does that. Yeah, he calls them.
Yeah, he does. And he for a long time he referred to them as Fox Noise.
Right. And
which I thought was
I've heard people say the fake news network and.
Right, fake news network is another one. I think I'm pretty sure that he came up with and even he does it with names. Bill O'Reilly, who he absolutely despises,
and who despises him much more.
Right, he refers to him all the time as Bill O'Reilly, and that sort of thing. But one of the things I really like about Keith Olbermann is he's not afraid to let you know that he's mad.
Yeah,
he did a commentary about worst person. He does it every night on his show.
The three worst people
of
the day.
He does a commentary about right. And did you see him do the one about Walmart recently?
No,
just in the last couple.
I don't watch that show very much, but I do like his writing.
Okay. Well, Walmart recently made the news because they are suing a handicapped person who was hit by a truck while they were working for them.
Yeah.
Because they had some supplemental insurance, health insurance, and that covered a small part of the bill.
Okay.
And so Walmart is suing the individual for that money back.
Wow.
And it's a relatively minuscule amount of money.
Yeah, for Walmart.
And I mean the person
$1 million is a minuscule amount of money.
Right. And we're not talking about anything close to that. And you know, it gets horrible because the person is gonna require care for probably the rest of their life, and it's just an absolute horrible story.
Yeah.
I had actually seen the story a couple of months ago when it was first announced that they were gonna do it. Well, Keith Olbermann I thought he might throw an aneurysm.
Yeah.
He was so upset about the whole thing. And you know, it's one of those things on language that I find so interesting. He just, he's not afraid to let his language do the talking.
Right. Well, George Carlin used to make a lot of hay just with language because
sure.
So much is gotten around in the name of language. I have one more euphemism here that I just noticed that is perhaps the grossest one I've ever heard. Servicing a target.
Servicing a target.
Right. It's what we're doing to various uncooperative areas of Iraq.
Aha.
They need a little service over there at Basra.
Now, you said that, and the first thing that popped into my mind was that I wonder how we got onto Elliot Spitzer.
Speaking of servicing a target.
Right. Did you hear the rumor today about Mr. Spitzer?
That he's gone
frequently.
He's gone to a sex addiction therapist.
No, I hadn't heard that. That they found that he was frequenting a escort service in Manhattan. Also,
no, didn't hear that. But at this point, that made
the news today. Yeah.
You know, we're not surprised at all at this point. You know what?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit.
I lost it. There was a. I had some place to go.
Okay.
But I don't have anywhere to go now.
Well, we're coming down to close to the end of our. The end of our time anyway.
Oh, is that right? We haven't even gotten to the next.
I know. Well, that's the unfortunate part.
Fortunate.
I got the news here. It was originally printed in the National Post, which is a Canadian newspaper.
Yeah.
And it basically says that he has been linked to a second prostitution ring. It was actually originally printed by the New York Post.
Speaking of Fox
News. And the name of the, right, is called Wicked Models, Manhattan-based operation. A year-long prostitution investigation has been undergone.
You know, and when I heard that Spitzer was linked to a prostitution ring, I thought it must be the breaking up of a prostitution ring. Honestly, when I saw the headline, I went, "Well, that can't be like it sounds." That, you know, somebody wrote a poor headline.
Right. Little did you know that he was going for some sort of record, huh?
He was Lincoln, all right. He was making sausage. All right. Maybe that's not a good way to characterize.
To end that particular thing. Well, listen, our time is about up.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
It's hard to imagine.
I know. 30 minutes on
euphemisms.
Government hiding what they're doing. Imagine that.
It's wrong and you know, wake up, people. At least if they say it, recognize it for what it is.
Right. I guess the message is listen to what they're saying and don't be so easy to let them off.
Don't be taking those controlled flights into terrain.
Right. Well, Max, listen, it was great talking to you tonight.
And you?
Let's see. Thanks to 8 Beer Sampler for producing.
For absolutely
thanks
nothing.
To, right? But that's
or
okay.
Or producing.
We are going to do a baseball edition, an extravaganza.
We will have an extra extravaganza on baseball sometime between now and the World Series.
For sure. I want to encourage people to go visit our website.
Right.
www.csapodcast.blogspot.com where they can actually make some suggestions into what to put into the Doomsday Ark
in on the moon, and they can also tell us. We'll remind them again whether we should be we're two guys talking to anyone about everything, we're two guys talking to everyone about anything, we're two guys talking to everyone about everything. Or we're two guys talking to anyone about anything.
We'll put up a poll that you can take and help us figure that out.
Did I say one of those twice?
No, I think you got all four of them. I was impressed.
Well, my brain has just been extraordinarily rendered.
I have no idea what that means, but that's cool.
I don't know what it means either. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Good night.
of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jesus,